Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
To the radio station that supports you heart and soul.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive. Give from the heart.
Hey, welcome to the Cale Clark Show. Yeah, not our usual music. That was a little arrangement by Lucas Holt. He's been, producing some polka tunes, all kinds of good stuff on the weekends, getting ready for Pledge Drive. And this is the Pledge Drive week for the winter season of 2021. We do this four times a year because Relevant Radio simply doesn't happen without you. And let's pray together as we start this hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was ever left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To thee do we come, before thee we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And as you know, on Relevant Radio, it's our regular practice to pray the Memorare frequently for an end to abortion in the United States. So we'll be doing that at the top of every show this week. And the format's a little bit different, but the show is still the same. We're still going to have great topics and great conversation. You can call in 1-888-914-9149. It's Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can also tweet at me at Cale Clark. C-A-L-E, Clark with an E, if you have a question or comment. You can also email cale@relevantradio.com. And one of the things you're going to be hearing about really soon, if you haven't heard about it already, if you've been listening to Relevant Radio programming today, there's an incredible giveaway that's happening for those who donate $20 a month or more to Relevant Radio. And it's the icon from Our Lady of Bethlehem. And you're going to hear a little bit about that in just a few minutes from Father Rocky. But it's an amazing icon, and I've seen this in person in Bethlehem at the Church of the Nativity. And a lot of people don't know the story of this icon, but there's a great miraculous conversion that happened because of it in recent years. And in fact, Father Rocky sent me this story, and it's amazing. This happened in Holy Week of 2012. It happened on Monday of Holy Week. Now, on Monday afternoon of Holy Week, it's still a little bit early. It's a little early in the game on Holy Week, so not too many pilgrims will be in the church that day. But the Church of the Nativity is the scene where this happened. And by the way, this is sort of on the Orthodox side of things. At most holy sites, if you've been to the Holy Land before, you know this, that a lot of the holy sites are kind of fought over, not fought over, but they're shared in some ways by different Christian groups. And there's no bigger example of this than the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, where you've got Catholics, Orthodox, all kinds of groups jockeying for position at various times and starting masses at various times or other services. And it's no different in Bethlehem. There's an Orthodox monastic community that coexists right alongside the Catholic side of things in Bethlehem. And what happened was this. There were some Orthodox monks, and these are Russian Orthodox monks, by the way. They were in the area of the church where they attend to, you know, just various things, cleaning things up, making sure everything's neat and tidy. And if you've been in the Church of the Nativity before, you know that there's a sort of a stairway that leads down to the cave underneath the church where it is said that Christ was born. Anyway, so these monks are kind of doing their work, and this guy comes in, and he's really emotional. He's very upset, you know, or it seems like he is. And he's got two lit candles with him. And he comes up to the icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem. And the monks were trying to sort of clean around it. And this guy walks right up to the icon. And he's got tears flowing out of his eyes. And he looks to the monks. And they're like, you know, are you okay? And he tells them, listen, I'm a Muslim from Bethlehem. And he said yesterday, while he was asleep, he had a dream about the Virgin Mary. And she told him to go to this place where she had given birth to her son, and he was to enter this church through a low doorway. He was told to go through this low doorway, proceed to the right-hand side, and then he would find her. And he was supposed to light two candles before her icon. Now, this man had not been to this church since he was a very, very young kid, so he didn't remember anything about it. But when he got there on that afternoon, He had his wife in the car, and his wife was kind of sitting in the car. They were kind of parked illegally. He got out really quickly. He was just so obedient to this vision that he saw. And he goes up and he sees this low doorway. And if you've been there before, you do know that there is a tiny, tiny little door. You have to crouch down to get into it, to get into the Church of the Nativity. And a lot of, you know, tourist guides will tell people, well, this is because we need humility to enter into a place where we can meet Christ. And just as Christ humbled himself and became a man, we have to humble ourselves too and go through this very, very low doorway and stoop down. It's about maybe like 4.5 feet off the ground. Now, that's not the real story. That's lovely preaching, but the real truth of the matter is that during the time of the Crusades, during the Middle Ages, they actually had, what would happen would be Muslim invaders would actually ride their horses into the Church of the Nativity and just trash the place. And so they actually had to protect against that by making the doorway too big for a horse to get through. That's the real story about why the door is so low. But anyways, this man goes in and he is just in tears before the icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem. And this icon, if you go to the Relevant Radio website, relevantradio.com, you'll see a photo of the icon. And it's just beautiful. And Our Lady has this really lovely smile. It's just so peaceful. And this is as this guy is kneeling before the icon, he's just beside himself because it's exactly as he saw in his dream. The church looked exactly like he dreamt it to be. The directions that Our Lady gave him to get to the icon, exactly as she said. And the icon was exactly as he imagined it in his dream, looked, it was just verbatim, it was carbon copy. So this was unreal. And by the way, this icon, really the origin stories of the icon is that it has to do with the Empress of Russia, Catherine, who had visited the Holy Land after a miracle that, I don't know what that miracle was, but the Mother of God had performed some sort of a miracle on her behalf or through her intercession in Russia. And this is really a pilgrimage of thanksgiving for Catherine. So she went to the Holy Land and she gave her own imperial clothing so that this icon of the Mother of God could be clothed in her royal garments, if you will. And her jewelry also she donated to be placed on the icon. And she also, by the way, enacted this rule that any future empresses of Russia were not allowed to wear rubies because only the Mother of God, this icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem, would have the rubies from now on, from her own vestiture, if you will. So this is what happened. This is the image that was seen by this Muslim man. And the monks, the Russian Orthodox monks, were just astounded by this. And so they gave him a little souvenir icon, sort of a copy of this icon, and he just absolutely loved it. He ran away quickly, went back to his car, but then he came back 5 minutes later because he'd forgotten. He said, "Mary told me that while I'm in this church, I should say hello to her friends." And who are her friends? Well, they were icons of the saints, the apostles, on the columns of the church. And so he said, kind of paid his respects, if you will. And of course, these are the friends of Our Lady. So he left. Never again did these monks see this guy again, but it's incredible. This is absolutely amazing. And this story really jibes with a lot of similar stories that I've heard from the Muslim world. There are a tremendous number of conversions to Christ that happen because of visions and dreams, and Our Lady has a lot to do with a lot of those events. We're going to take a really quick break right now. We'll be right back. Here's a miracle moment with more on this icon with Father Rocky.
Hi, this is Father Rocky. This is really beautiful, and I know you're going to want one of these. Head over to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app and take a look at our thank you gift at the $20 a month level. It's a wooden holy icon, 2.5 by 3.5 inches, with the image of our Blessed Mother and Jesus. It's authentic Byzantine art lithography. It's a beautiful icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem. The original is in the Basilica of the Nativity, very near the spot where Jesus Christ was born. I personally chose it just for you from a religious goods store in Bethlehem, operated by some of the few remaining Catholic families in Bethlehem. We only have a limited supply, so be sure to get yours now for a gift of $20 a month to Relevant Radio. You can give very quickly at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Again, we have a limited supply of this beautiful icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem. Give from the heart now.
All right, so we're almost a quarter of the hour is gone, and like Father Rocky just said there, yeah, we started out with a limited supply of those Our Lady of Bethlehem icons. Started out with 900. 700 plus are already gone. We've got less than 200 wow. available. And so I'm sure that number is just going to keep ticking away through the course of this hour. So I'm hoping that by the end of the hour, Cale, we still have some that are available that are left. If somebody is not able to get to the phone right now, if somebody's not able to go online and make their pledge at relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app. But yeah, it's amazing to see how popular this has been for so many people saying, yeah, you know, I'm not able to travel right now, but I want that connection with Our Lady, with our Lord, with that special place where our Savior Jesus Christ was born there in Bethlehem. And so again, for your pledge of just $20 a month, we'd love to send that to you. Again, you can make your pledge online, relevantradio.com or through the Relevant Radio app, or you can call 877-291-0123. And I think I'm going to figure out something with the short door, Cale. I like that I'm going to use that as maybe a way to just, you know, make my house a little more selective of who I invite in.
Absolutely. Well, you've got a lot of kids, and some of them are probably short enough to fit through that door right. Standing up. Absolutely. And, you know, here's what I want to do, Josh. I want to give away. I want to make sure that my goal for this hour is that 100 of those icons are into the hands of supporters of Relevant Radio this hour. I'm going to leave 100 for Timory in the next hour. But I want 100 people to call in right now. For only between $20 and $30 a month, you can get this. Or more. Or you can get more, of course. But $20 a month, it's really not that much, Josh. I mean, every February, of course, we call this campaign Give from the Heart. Valentine's Day, of course, is in February. And I spare no expense. I always take my wife to a fast food joint for Valentine's Day. And, $20 usually does it. But the meal is gone in just a few minutes. This icon will stay on your desk for as long as you have it. And it'll be an incredible reminder of our Lord's great love for us coming to this world in Bethlehem. You can get an icon from the place where it all happened, where he was born. And I've been there, and it is an incredibly moving experience. And this is, I've seen the icon in person, and it is truly beautiful. And it can be yours if you call 1-877-291-0123, or even faster and more secure, go to relevantradio.com. or the Relevant Radio app. Give from the heart.
You know, the other thing, Cale, that we should mention here is anybody who donates during this hour of the Cale Clark Show, your donation is matched dollar for dollar.
Wow.
So if you can give that $20 a month, over the course of a year, almost $500 will go to support Relevant Radio. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or 877-291-0123.
Helping you keep your mind off traffic and on the more important things in life. It's Cale Clark on Relevant Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Just before Josh and I had that wonderful conversation, I was telling you about this Muslim man who had a vision, had a dream in Bethlehem, where he saw this icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem, and Our Lady directed him to go to the Church of the Nativity, light two candles before this icon. And it was exactly as she laid it out for him in his dream. And as I said, this story really jibes with similar ones I've heard from the Muslim world. There are a tremendous number of conversions to Christ that happen as a result of visions and dreams. In other words, really private revelations. That's what's happening here. Now, as Catholics, we only have to hold to public revelation of the faith. The faith is Catholic. It's universal. It's not a secret club or a secret society. We don't have esoteric teachings that are only known by the elite. You know, this is wide open. It's out there in the world, and everybody has access to it. But from time to time throughout history, God has given what we call private revelations to certain individuals. A lot of them are saints, but some of them are just regular, ordinary folk. I mean, we're all called to be saints, but a lot of times this type of thing happens in predominantly Muslim countries, especially those ones that are called closed countries. That is, that missionaries, Christian missionaries, are forbidden to enter those lands. I remember Pope Benedict XVI used to talk about this a lot. You know, he used to say, there's a need for reciprocity here. The largest mosque in the world was being built in Rome. What about, you know, why can't we evangelize or share our faith or practice our faith often in Muslim lands? What about religious freedom? What about tolerance? We have it in the West. Why not everywhere else? And in a lot of cases, the only way that Christ can reach people in these lands is through these visions and dreams. The old-fashioned way, I guess you could say. If you think about it, throughout salvation history, God has very often used this medium to speak to people, especially when there was no other way. Think about in the Old Testament period. Sometimes God would send prophets to people. For example, when he sent the prophet Nathan to David, you know, to rebuke him. And it worked. But in these closed countries, he can't get anybody in there. Think about Joseph, of course, who had dreams. He was a dreamer of dreams in the Old Testament. And then, of course, even in the New Testament, St. Joseph. And this is a year dedicated to St. Joseph in the church, of course. He experienced dreams and visions from God, too. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. 1-888-914-9149 is the number to call. You know, I have a friend who actually serves as a missionary in one of those closed Muslim countries. I can't tell you his name or what country he's serving in because it could actually put his life in danger. But he has told me a ton of stories like this. A lot of people there are incredibly sincere people who want nothing more than to serve God in their lives. And they've quite literally never had the opportunity to consider the claims of Jesus Christ or of his Catholic Church. Things that they've heard about him have only come from their imam or their mosque. But when they do hear it, when they do hear more about Christ from one of these secret missionaries like my friend, or from a dream or a vision where God speaks to them, as with this man in Bethlehem that I just told you about, people who are trying to serve God, and there are a number of incredibly devoted people. There I'd say millions of devoted people in these Muslim lands that are trying to find God, trying to search for God, but they just haven't really heard the gospel proclaimed in its fullness. But when they do see it, when they do receive one of these visions, or when they meet a missionary who explains it in more in terms that they can understand, they recognize it and they embrace it, just like that man who had the dream and then went straight for, made a beeline for the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. And very often, I'd say more often than not, Mary has a lot to do with these conversions. You know, Venerable Fulton Sheen used to talk about this a lot. He wrote a book called The World's First Love. I don't know if you've read that book, but it's a great book. It's all about Mary. And in that book, there's a chapter where he talks about Mary and the Muslims. And he talks about Our Lady of Fatima. And I don't know if you know the background of Our Lady of Fatima, but it's incredibly interesting. And people often wonder, why did Mary appear in this town in the middle of nowhere in Portugal? You know, why did she choose this place for an apparition? Well, as Fulton Sheen explained, for Muslims, Mary is the true Sayyida, or the true lady. And the only possible rival for her in the Muslim world would be Fatima. And who is Fatima? Muhammad's favorite daughter. Now, after Fatima died, Muhammad wrote this. He said, "You shall be the most blessed of all the women in paradise after Mary." After Mary. Now, here's the interesting history of the town of Fatima in Portugal. Here's the backstory. There was a Muslim chief in that town who also had a daughter named Fatima. And of course, many Muslim women are named Fatima after the daughter of Muhammad. So this girl, Fatima, fell in love with a young man who was Catholic. But eventually this chief said, "Listen, we're pulling up stakes. We've got to move on to the next town. We're not going to stay here. You have to choose. Are you going to come with your family, or are you going to stay with this guy? You're going to marry this guy." And Fatima chose to stay and marry this young Catholic man. And she, of course, became Catholic. They got married. That guy became the mayor of the town, if you will. And so that's how the town got its name. He named the town after her because of his devotion and love for her. So this is an interesting background when you think about why Mary appeared in Fatima, Portugal, of all places. Could it be that this is part of God's plan to share the gospel in the Muslim world? Well, Fulton Sheen certainly thought so, Bishop Fulton Sheen. And when the pilgrim statue of Our Lady of Fatima toured the world, whenever it was in regions where there was a big Muslim population, they came out to see it in droves because the Quran does speak of Mary, and they have a devotion to her. And so she may be the key. You know, she says, "Do whatever he tells you" in the Gospel of John. She may be the key to introducing Muslims to who her son really is. He's more than a prophet, much, much more. And Bishop Sheen said that because Islam had its origin in the 7th century under Muhammad, it was possible to unite within it some elements of Christianity and of Judaism, along with particular customs of Arabia. And this is why a lot of people, some people actually don't view Islam as a separate religion. Some people actually say that it's in essence a Christian heresy. Now, why do I say that? Because it takes some stuff from Christianity, some stuff from the Old Testament and Judaism, and as Fulton Sheen said, kind of mixes it together with some particular Arabian customs. So for example, the doctrine of the unity of God, that God is one, they take that, but they use that to kind of reject the divinity of Christ. If God is one, how can he have a son, or how can his son be divine? So Muhammad had a misunderstanding, a big misunderstanding about the notion of the Trinity. He said Christ is only a prophet. Now, I have read that the only people that believed in Christ that Muhammad ever actually met were Nestorians. And I don't know if you know who Nestorians were, but they were basically heretics in the ancient church. And Nestorius, they got their name from Nestorius, a bishop who said that basically Mary was not the mother of God. She was only the mother of the human Jesus, but not the divine Christ. This was a heresy because Mary didn't give birth to a nature. She gave birth to a person. And at the Council of Ephesus in 431 AD, that's where the heresy of Nestorianism was overturned. Mary was declared to be the mother of God, and all the people rejoiced because they're very devoted to her, and they even put the bishops on their shoulders, had this torchlight procession through the town, big celebrations, fireworks. I don't know if they had fireworks back then, but Nestorians were hanging around, though. They hung around, and they were still kicking around that region, and it is said that these are the guys that Muhammad actually came in contact with. So he never actually met, apparently, an Orthodox Christian who can maybe set him straight on this, on who Jesus Christ really was, on the doctrine of the Trinity. Interesting thought for sure. Well, as you know, Islam very, very nearly overran all of Christendom in a couple of different points. At one point, they were stopped very near Tours, and later on, outside the gates of Vienna. Of course, the Battle of Lepanto is famously celebrated as well. As you know, that's the day that we celebrate Our Lady of the Rosary, the great victory where they were completely outgunned. The Christian forces were completely outgunned. But Mary came through, and if the Muslims had won that battle, they probably would have ran right across Europe and forcibly converted everyone to Islam. The church throughout Northern Africa, Muslim power obviously took over a lot of that region. And obviously in our own day, and when Fulton Sheen wrote this book, this was decades ago, he could not have necessarily known what was going to be happening in our own day. And we've got lots more to talk about this as we go on in the program. There's going to be lots of stuff to talk about here. Very interesting. So we've got to really think about and pray about how we can bring the gospel to all phases of the earth, to all corners of the earth. We've got to pray for those, especially who have had no chance to hear it proclaimed clearly. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
All right, Josh Raymond here along with Cale Clark, and we're going to get back to the Cale Clark Show, but taking this short little time out, asking you to help support Relevant Radio with your donation, with your pledge. Give from the heart at relevantradio.com through the Relevant Radio app or by calling 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. We've already seen over 60 people who have made their pledges this hour who have responded. I don't know what those amounts are yet.
Okay.
Some of them, Some of them, I'm sure, have called in and made that donation at $20 a month, but it could be any amount. And again, any amount that you donate is matched dollar for dollar this hour of the Cale Clark Show. But Cale, I love the image that you put out there of maybe Our Lady is the one who will help introduce the Muslim world to her son. And it took me back to actually the first time I ever went into an adoration chapel. And
oh, really?
Yeah, because I had a friend of mine who said, hey, you know, you're kind of interested in the Catholic Church. Come on, I've got an hour of adoration and I'll take you. And so I went, and he later was actually my sponsor coming into the church. But
oh, wow.
he ended up, you know, took me there, kind of introduced me, said, okay, here, you know, these are some of the things, and just walked me around in the chapel. It was just the two of us, so, you know, had a little bit of more latitude to be very, you know, softly kind of give me a guided tour of the chapel itself. But I said, you know, there's this is supposed to be about Jesus, and there's Our Lady, there's Mary, who's, you know, this statue kind of in the corner here. And he said, yeah, but notice, she's in the corner, and she's got her hands kind of ushering us to Jesus. And wow. That really stuck with me, that Our Lady always guides us to her son. And I hope that really is how it works out, that Our Lady is the one who's able to usher the Muslim world to her son. But Cale, we've got that icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem that we really want to give as a thank you gift to people who donate today.
Like I said, I want to give out 100 of them during this hour, so maybe we've already given out 60. Well, we got 40 to go, so let's go for it. All you have to do is go to relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. And by the way, there's a bonus for you if you do it online. Well, part of it's because out of necessity, because of COVID, we just don't have as many people working the phone. So you don't want that busy signal. So you're going to want to go to relevantradio.com or through the app. Nothing could be easier. It's totally secure. Plus, we're going to give you a free gift. It's an MP3 talk from Father Rocky called Jumpstart Your Lent. Lent's coming up fast. Pun intended. We're going to fast on Ash Wednesday, February 17th. And you're going to want to get ready to celebrate Lent with Father Rocky. We've got that for you, too.
877-291-0123, relevantradio.com or the Relevant Radio app. Please donate and give from the heart.
This is the Relevant Radio Winter Pledge Drive.
Give from the heart.
Give from the heart.
Okay, welcome back to the show. This is Cale Clark, 1-888-914-9149 is the toll-free number to call for the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. You can also tweet at me at Cale Clark on Twitter. We were talking before the break about Fulton Sheen's book, Archbishop Fulton Sheen's book called The World's First Love, and it's all about Mary. And he talks about how she may be the key to bringing the Muslim world to Christ. Now, he talks about Hilaire Belloc. Hilaire Belloc was a very interesting Catholic thinker, and he predicted, wow, I think this is probably back around in the 1920s, that Islam was going to rise again as a force in the world. And a lot of people laughed at him at the time because it just did not seem plausible at all. But we know that he proved to be a prophet in that sense. And one of the things that Hilaire Belloc used to say was, well, he also believed that Islam was, in a sense, a Christian heresy because it depended on, it came after Christianity, of course. Most people don't know that Islam didn't get going until the 6th century after Christ. So it doesn't predate Christianity at all. In fact, it depends on Christianity for a lot of its teachings. And so if it's true that Islam is a Christian heresy, Fulton Sheen says, well, really, this is the only heresy that's never gone away, because most heresies have a moment of, you know, they really are doing well, they're getting a lot of converts, but then they kind of start to decline after their leader dies. They eventually evaporate over time. Now, a lot of heresies are pretty stubborn, and with Islam, obviously, it has never really declined in numbers or in the devotion of its followers. And so Fulton Sheen said that really, it's so difficult for a Muslim person to convert. There's a lot of reasons for that. And one reason is that for a follower of Islam to become a Christian, it's very similar, he says, to a Christian becoming a Jew. It's almost, in a sense, going backwards, because they believe that they have the final and definitive revelation of God to the world with Islam, and that Christ was merely a prophet announcing Muhammad, who was to come, and that Muhammad was the last of God's real prophets, according to them. But clearly, Christ is much more than that. He is God made man. So how do we get them to realize this? Well, the clue is, and the key is, the bridge is possibly Mary. First of all, even in the Quran, as I mentioned earlier, the Quran talks about Mary. The Quran mentions her Immaculate Conception and also the virginal birth of Jesus Christ. Very interesting. A lot of people don't know that. The Quran does say that Jesus was virgin born. And in the Quran, it mentions the family history of Mary, her genealogy. It goes back through Abraham, Noah, and even Adam. And it seems as if the writer of the Quran, whether it's Muhammad or other compilers, they depended on the apocryphal gospel about the birth of Mary. Both of those documents just talk about the old age of Mary's mother, Saint Anne, and when she conceives Mary, in the Quran, Anne says, "O Lord, I vow and consecrate to you what is already within me. Accept it from me." And when Mary is actually born, Anna says, "I consecrate her with all of her posterity under your protection, O Lord, against Satan." That's very interesting. And Mary, of course, does protect us by her motherly mantle from the evil one. And so this incredible icon, which can be yours if you donate at least $20 a month to Relevant Radio during this pledge drive that we've got going on right now, it's called Give from the Heart. We only have a few of them left. There was only 995 to start the day. We're down to a couple hundred now. So we have got to get these into your hands. You're going to want to call for those. They're just beautiful. They're absolutely beautiful. Well, of course, today is the first day of a new month as well, the month of February. And it's the feast day of a saint that I have to confess, I did not know too much about before today. But I sure do now. She certainly got my attention. I'm talking about Saint Brigid of Ireland. And why, do you say? She's really got my eyes open. Well, apparently, she did a lot of stupendous miracles. God did miracles through her, I should say. One of them was this. She was able to turn tubs of water, bathtubs full of water, into beer. Hey, this is my kind of gal. This is unbelievable. Wow, I like this religion. This is amazing. Maybe this is how to convert people. I don't know. But water to wine, you know, water to beer? Oh, wow, this is fantastic. At any rate, that's a very Irish miracle for sure. It's often said that, you know, there's an old joke, why was whiskey invented? To keep the Irish from taking over the world. And I'm Irish, by the way, so I can laugh at that. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Lucas. Yes, I'm doing the river dance right now. You can't see me, but at any rate, so St. Brigid's Day is huge in Ireland, and it actually marks the... Why is it on February the 1st? Well, this is actually the first day of spring in the Gaelic calendar. Now, it certainly doesn't feel like spring out there where I live, and probably where most of you are listening as well. But it is midway between the winter and the spring equinox. And even before St. Brigid came along, even before Christianity came to Ireland with St. Patrick, before Ireland was a Catholic country, it actually celebrated on the same day a pagan goddess, a feast of a pagan goddess named Brigid. So it was a pretty easy transition to the Christian feast, right? You can even keep the same name. Well, St. Brigid obviously was anything but pagan. And who really was she? Well, by the way, she is the female patron saint of Ireland. There are three patron saints of Ireland. St. Patrick, that's the obvious one. You probably could guess that one. Also, St. Colmsill. I have no idea who this person is, other than the fact that they're a saint. But St. Brigid is the first and the only woman patron saint of Ireland. Now, she was actually born a slave in Dundalk in the year 451. And she was baptized, allegedly, by St. Patrick himself. Now, she had a wealthy pagan father. And I don't know how this happened. Don't ask me. I wasn't able to figure out how this all would work. But she was born a slave, and her father was a wealthy pagan. Somehow she was born into slavery, and she was actually sold back to her father and became his servant. Anyways, I don't know how that all worked, but not cool at any rate. And of course, the teachings of the faith were able to combat things like this. Now, from a young age, she actually ticked off her father quite a bit because she would steal his money and she would give away
that cash to people in need, to the poor. And so he was like, I need to get rid of her. So he tried to sell her to the king of Leinster. Now the king, he himself had become a Catholic, and he recognized that this girl was holy. And he ordered her father, you need to free her from slavery. You need to let her go right now. And he did. And she would go on to found several monasteries and a convent in County Kildare. So here's some of her miracles. Now, clearly the one that stands out to me is converting water to beer. And that obviously made her pretty popular around town. I don't know whether it was green beer, like the green dyed beer that they have on St. Patty's Day, or like they turn the river in Chicago green, you know, on St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if it was like that. But that was far from her only miracle. And sometimes when you read these accounts, it's hard to sort out what's legend and what's an actual miracle. And I certainly believe in miracles. We all do as Catholics. You have to believe in miracles to be a Catholic. But some of these legends about saints, you have to admit, some of them may be urban legends, if you will. But a few interesting ones relating to St. Bridget. She was a fierce protector of women. And there are a lot of stories about her saving innocent women from death, from being assaulted, from being framed for a crime that they didn't commit, and healing two mute girls on one occasion. Now, she herself was a consecrated virgin. She promised herself to God, and that really ticked off some men who wanted to marry her, and she refused every time. But one man said, this is what he said to her, and I should do this in an Irish accent, but I'm not going to. He told her that the beautiful eye within her head would be betrothed to a man whether she liked it or not. That sounds pretty ominous. Well, she said, oh, really? And then she pulled out her own eye, apparently, out of the socket. And then she said, you, sir, who said this to me, guess what? Your own eyes are going to be removed. And right after that, both of his eyes burst in his head. And apparently this happened immediately. Wow, this is something out of a horror flick or something. But when she took her final vows of chastity, her missing eye is said to have returned as though it had never been taken out. How about that? So Irish people have lots of ways to celebrate St. Bridget's Day. And one of the ways that they do that is by making what's called the St. Bridget's Cross. It's a very unique cross that's made out of reeds or straw, and children are taught how to make it in school in Ireland. Why do they make these special crosses? And if you Google the images of St. Bridget's cross, you'll see that it's a very unique shape. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that after this really, really quick break. You are listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Changing lives in your neighborhood and across the nation. Here's another Relevant Radio miracle moment.
I share a couple of answered prayers. In fact, it seems that God is hearing these prayers. A person wrote to me, says, hey, Drew, I prayed the chap along with others for my husband's job hunt. We prayed almost a year and a half, and we worried a lot, but we still prayed. My husband was just made an amazing offer, and I credit my prayer and my answer to the chaplain of divine mercy. Thank you all. The story is much longer. If I had time to tell you, it would amaze you. It's truly a miracle.
This miracle moment was brought to you by you. Relevant Radio is listener-supported. Help us bring Christ to the world with a financial gift of any amount. You can give on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
All right. Almost three quarters of the hour is gone. We've got 15 and a half minutes left to go. I'm Josh Raymond along with Cale Clark and asking you to help support Relevant Radio. You can make your pledge right now at relevantradio.com through the Relevant Radio app, or you can give us a call, 877-291-0123. That's 877-291-0123. One of my favorite things about listening to the Cale Clark Show, if you're like me, it's learning about the lives of some of these saints. And Cale, you know, the more that I hear you tell us about the different saints, the feast days mm-hmm. that we're going through, the liturgical calendar, mm-hmm. I've come to the conclusion that saints are pretty intense people, especially if you're willing to rip out your own eye to prove yeah. the point that you're not going to get married. That's some pretty intense devotion to your vows, and I don't know if I could do that. I don't. I mean, maybe you could, but that's a little beyond my scope.
The Irish have a saying, the eyes have it. I don't know whether it comes from that story or not, but I tell you, that's certainly an eye-popping incident to be sure. Speaking about eyeballs, awkward transition here, but a lot of people, Josh, are going to be watching the Super Bowl this coming Sunday. Millions and millions of people. And things are a little bit different in these COVID times, but the Super Bowl ads are always fun to watch. They're usually super, super expensive as well. And this year, Josh, I don't know if you heard this, but it costs $5.6 million for one 30-second spot in the Super Bowl. Now, I was sick the day they taught math at school. I was never really great at it, but I do know this, though. I think I can figure this out. We have a need of $2.7 million for this quarter for Relevant Radio. And it's pretty amazing that for half of the cost of a 30-second ad at
less
the Super
than
Bowl,
half.
Less than half.
Yes.
Yeah, see, I told you I was sick the day they taught math. But we can fund 3 months, a quarter of the year, of the entire Relevant Radio network, where there are almost 200 stations, for less than half of that price. And so I think, I don't know about you, Josh, but I think that's a much better use of people's funds, don't you think?
Well, it sure is maximizing the use of the money in a much larger sense that, you know, rather than 30 seconds, you get 3 months worth of, yeah, of programming here. And, you know, let's be honest. And this is to take nothing away from, you know, different companies that are advertising. Mm-hmm. But there is something that's a higher calling when we're talking about reaching souls for Christ and the church. And that's why we ask you to make that donation, especially if you can consider pledging at that $20 a month level. We've been offering this day those Our Lady of Bethlehem icons, and we'd love to send you one as our way of saying thank you for your donation of $20 a month. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123.
Explaining the faith so you can explain it to others. It's the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Sky full of stars, and there are a lot of stars in the sky when it comes to the saints. There's so many of them shining brightly with the light of Christ. And one of them was St. Bridget of Ireland, whose feast day is today. And as I promised, I was going to tell you about where this St. Bridget's cross comes from. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 1-888-914-9149. You can tweet at me, at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. Well, here's how this all came about. St. Bridget was called to the deathbed of an old pagan chieftain. Now remember, before the church evangelized Ireland with the help of St. Patrick and St. Bridget, there's a lot of paganism there. And this old pagan chief was suffering a lot as he was dying. And a lot of people knew of St. Bridget and the miracles that were wrought through her. And so they called her and said, can you come and talk to this guy? And she said, I'd love to. So she arrives at his bedside and she tries to talk to him. And he really wasn't buying into what she had to say. And there were a few pieces of straw that were on the floor. And she picked them up and she began to weave a cross out of those pieces of straw. I guess it's a lot like what happens on Palm Sunday. You know, remember, at least when we were allowed to go to Mass, and obviously during these COVID times, you know, things have changed, but I always called Palm Sunday Arts and Crafts Sunday because people would usually not pay attention to the homily. They'd be taking their palms and making little crosses out of them. And anyways, maybe that's what she did. St. Bridget did this, picked up a few rushes that were on the ground, some pieces of straw, and weaved this cross. And this chieftain had never seen, who was dying, he's on his deathbed, he'd never seen a cross before. And he starts to ask her, you know, what are you doing? What is the meaning of this shape? And so she explained to him the life of Christ and how he died on the cross. And that gave him a lot of peace. And he's like, I want this. He subsequently converted pretty much right there on his deathbed to the faith. And he was able to be baptized before he passed into eternity. So ever since, Catholics in Ireland have made crosses out of straw, out of rushes, and put them on their doorways. It's very similar to what people do sometimes on Palm Sundays, where they'll bring their palms home and put them behind, you know, images of Our Lady or of Our Lord, or places in the home. And this is what they'll do in Ireland. They'll take these St. Bridget's crosses and have them blessed by the parish priest. And it is believed that the cross in the home, if you put it there, it'll protect your home from fire, evil spirits, from people going hungry. And so traditionally, before St. Bridget's Day rolls around in Ireland, in schools, this is what they do. The kids make these crosses, and they're all brought to the churches on the 1st of February today to be blessed. And then they're hung in people's homes. So they stay there for a year, and then new St. Bridget's crosses are created the very next year, and the old ones are taken and burned. Here's another interesting thing that happens on St. Bridget's Day. Households across Ireland, they will take some clothing, and they will leave clothing outside of their homes in the hopes that somehow they'll be blessed by St. Bridget. I don't know what the origin of that story is, but you got to be careful. You know, you don't want to leave your Gucci garments out there. They might never come back. But at any rate, that is St. Bridget's Day. I did not know much about her, but any saint that turns water into beer in a bathtub is going to get my attention, my full attention. Anyways, well, we certainly don't necessarily need a bathtub full of beer to be content. But a lot of people struggle with contentment, especially in this day and age. All of us, we've been tested, our whole society, the fabric of our society has been tested in a lot of ways throughout these past few months, and part of it is due to COVID. And a lot of people are unhappy during these times, and that's true even of a lot of Catholics. They struggle with what it means to be content. And how can we do that? How can we do that? Well, I think one of the ways that we can do this is by learning from St. Paul. I read an interesting piece about this by Melissa Kruger about how Paul learned contentment and how he thought about what it means to be a contented Catholic in really, really tough times. And in his letter to the Philippians, he says, "I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether I have plenty. I know what it's like to have plenty, and I know what it's like to be in want. I know what it's like to be healthy. I know what it's like to be sick. And I've found the secret of contentment in any and every situation." And here's some things that St. Paul basically said. This is what contentment is not. If you want to live a content life, that doesn't mean that you're looking to have a carefree existence. You can be content and have a lot of cares in this world. And we all do. We all do. We strive to have a balanced life. But let's face it, you know, it's very difficult to achieve this. You're not going to be sitting on a hammock, you know, swinging around, sipping lemonade, or maybe having your bathtub full of beer next to you, you know, reading a book while the world around you falls apart. I mean, it's not the way it's going to be. And St. Paul had a lot of struggles in life, which he talks about in the New Testament. Think about his time that he spent in Asia. And here's what he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He said, "We do not want you to be ignorant of the affliction that we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself." Imagine that. St. Paul was under so much pressure, so much persecution, he despaired of life itself. But he never lost his peace. There's a big difference, and I often talk about this, and you've heard me talk about it on the show before. There's a big difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on what's happening around you. You know, the bills are paid, I'm healthy, I don't have that beer gut, maybe, you know, like I did, you know, well, after COVID, you know, maybe I do. But you know, there's a big difference between happiness, which depends on what's happening around you, and joy, which can never be taken away from you, no matter what. And what does joy spell? If you take that word and break it apart, J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, J-O-Y. That is a recipe for contentment. St. Paul knew that. I'll have much more to say about this week. But think about that. Think about that as we're dealing with these really tough times. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Minutes of the Cale Clark Show here. I'm Josh Raymond along with Cale, and we have heard from so many people. In fact, we're just, Cale, we're that close
to seeing ourselves cross past 100 donations for this hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Now, I can't promise that all of those are at that $20 a month level. I'd love it if they were. And if you've just tuned in, $20 a month is the level that we will send you a thank you donation or a thank you gift for your donation of the icon of Our Lady of Bethlehem. And we've heard from so many people who have done that. We heard from Peggy. She's listening in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Made
her pledge of $20
a month.
Yep. Michael out in the Twin Cities in Minnesota made his pledge of $240. Monica in Chicago. Let's see, Ivan, he listens on our website out in Kansas. He made his $20 a month pledge. Miriam in Pasadena. Let's see, Oscar out in San Francisco. All these people, we're going to be sending that Our Lady of Bethlehem icon. Anna in Philadelphia. Susan in Milwaukee. One of my favorite stories here was from a brand new listener, donor, well, listening for a while, but out in Phoenix. And he said, I called in. I wanted to give today because I wanted to receive this icon of Our Lady. And he said, I'm a doctor. And I love listening to Relevant Radio. I listen on the app, and I actually tell my patients to listen to Relevant Radio because it'll help lower their stress. It's good for their health. And so he said, but I'm not Catholic yet. But Relevant Radio is actually helping me kind of on that road. I think I might be headed towards the church. So thank you to all of you who have made those pledges. If you haven't, then do it right now. RelevantRadio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or give us a call, 877-291-0123.
Yeah, that's an incredible story. I mean, he's not even Catholic yet, but he is spreading the good word about Relevant Radio to his patients. Wow, this is your prescription. You know, go listen to the Cale Clark Show. Go listen to the Patrick Madrid Show. Go listen to Trending with Timory, and it'll help you. How about that? And listen, my mom's a nurse, so she'll be tickled to hear that is the prescription of the day. But, you know, it really, you talk about the gifts that people are making, Josh, and yes, there are certain, you know, if you give $20 a month or more, you can get this icon. But really, we're just thankful for all the gifts. And there are people who are giving sacrificially who aren't even get, you know, less than $20, $10, $5. That's a sacrifice for them. And we appreciate that. And God sees the heart there for sure. And there are other people that honestly could give a little bit more. And you know, Mother Teresa used to say that it's not really giving unless it hurts. And there has to be a little bit of a sacrifice there. You have to feel the pinch a little bit. And for some people, you know, $10 is a pinch, especially in these times. But for others, I don't know. I think God may be asking someone out there who's listening right now, maybe to give something like $5,000 or more. And you know what's great about this? That gift is doubled today, all day long, and especially during this hour. We don't have much time left in this hour. We want to get to these 100 donations for the hour. But your gift is doubled, no matter how big or how small it is. You can double your impact if you give right now, 877-291-0123, or relevantradio.com, or of course, through the app.
And, you know, as you're talking, Cale, about Mother Teresa saying, you got to have that little pinch, give until it hurts. Father Rocky, our executive director here, he's actually taken that a step further. And he always says, no, don't give until it hurts. Give until you smile. And that's the way you should donate. That's the way you should live out your faith. Are you smiling when you're making that donation? Does it make you happy? Or even more than happy, just like Cale was talking about, does it bring you joy? Does it bring you that true joy knowing that you're helping other people out there? And that's the real reason that you donate to Relevant Radio. You know, yeah, of course, getting the thank you gift is nice. You know, being able to be a part of the excitement of the hour as we're trying to just, we're just a few donations away from hitting 100 for this hour. Well, that's great. But really, we do it because we know how Relevant Radio has made a difference in our own lives. And that's why we want to help others who are out there who haven't had that opportunity yet. They haven't had the chance to tune into Relevant Radio. And you're providing that with your donation when you donate online, relevantradio.com, the Relevant Radio app, or call 877-291-0123. Cale?
Josh, it's been my pleasure. And you know what? I love the thermometer on the website, relevantradio.com. We can see the temperature going up as people keep giving from the heart. Relevant Radio, it's our pledge drive.